Envision this. You're seeing a 40-year-old woman today for shortness of breath and leg swelling. She reports, "I haven't been able to exercise lately because I tire out quickly. I can't catch my breath, and my legs feel swollen. I noticed it a few months ago during my yoga class, and it's gotten worse." You note that she has no significant medical history. You observe that her vital signs are normal, and on physical exam, you hear a loud P2 on heart auscultation, and you also see edema in her lower extremities. As you consider your patient's symptoms and the exam findings, what is happening and how can you explain this to your patient? Welcome to Audio Bricks. This is Ed Barnes breaking down pulmonary hypertension in your ears. After completing this section, you will be able to 1. Define pulmonary hypertension and compare it to pulmonary arterial hypertension. 2. Describe the clinical presentation and diagnosis of pulmonary hypertension. 3. Describe how pulmonary hypertension leads to right-sided heart failure. 4. Describe how pulmonary vascular resistance affects pulmonary arterial pressure. 5. List common etiologies of pulmonary hypertension and differentiate between the cardiac and pulmonary etiologies. And lastly, 6. Describe the treatment of pulmonary hypertension. To start our discussion off, let's acknowledge that normal blood pressure keeps us alive. It's the force that moves blood throughout our circulatory system, ensuring that oxygen and nutrients reach our organs and tissues, and that waste products are eliminated. When we hear the word hypertension, high blood pressure, we know this describes the blood flow exerting too much force against the blood vessel walls. Pulmonary hypertension describes high blood pressure in the vessels of the lung. Part 1. What is pulmonary hypertension and how does it differ from pulmonary arterial hypertension? Pulmonary hypertension, by definition, has an elevated mean arterial pressure of the vessels between the heart and the lung, with a value of greater than or equal to 25 millimeters of mercury at rest. The terms pulmonary hypertension and pulmonary arterial hypertension are often used interchangeably, but there is actually a major difference between the two. Pulmonary hypertension is a broader, more inclusive term that simply means an elevation of blood pressure in the vessels of the lung. Pulmonary arterial hypertension is a subtype of pulmonary hypertension caused by narrowing and thickening of the pulmonary arteries. So pulmonary arterial hypertension is a subgroup of pulmonary hypertension, which may have many other causes, including heart failure or lung disease. Envision your heart and lungs as the branches of pulmonary arteries as they leave the heart. Now picture the arteries branching to different lobes of the lungs. Now visually zoom in and take a look at the layers of these arteries. Recall, the external surface of the vessels is called the adventitia, and the internal surface is called the interna. And in between the two, there is the media. In a healthy patient, these layers are undisrupted and allow for smooth and normal blood flow through the lungs. In diseased lungs, in patients that have pulmonary artery hypertension, you would visualize these layers of the vessels very differently. You might see adventitia and intima cellular proliferation, smooth muscle hypertrophy in the media layer, and in situ thrombosis near the lumen of the vessels, all leading to reduce blood flow. Another subtype of pulmonary hypertension includes pulmonary venous hypertension, most often caused by the increased left atrial pressure seen in heart failure. The backup of fluid caused by the heart failure leads to venous congestion and increased pulmonary venous pressure, leading ultimately to pulmonary arterial and venous hypertension. So how do we define pulmonary arterial hypertension? Well, pulmonary arterial hypertension is characterized by pathological changes within the vessels themselves, as we discussed earlier. But let's dive a bit deeper into what is happening in the layers of the pulmonary arteries. In a normal pulmonary artery, there are three layers. First, there is a thin monolayer of endothelial cells on the interna portion of the vessel. Then there is a thin layer of smooth cells in the media layer. And lastly, there are collagen fibers and fibroblasts in the adventitia layer. In pulmonary artery hypertension, these layers are disrupted. You will observe, 1, vasoconstriction, which the morphological signs of vasoconstriction include a narrowed lumen and tightly squeezed endothelial cells in the folds of the interna elastica. 2, you will also see arterial remodeling and inflammation with adventitial and medial thickening due to smooth muscle cell and fibroblast proliferation. Another key observation is the plexiform lesion, which is a lesion with a glomerulus-like appearance that is due to aberrant angiogenesis that can result in a small supernumerary pulmonary artery. And finally, you might also observe a recanalized thrombotic lesion in the lumen of the pulmonary artery. So, in primary pulmonary artery hypertension, the artery diameter becomes narrower, which inevitably leads to an increase in resistance. In other words, there is an intrinsic increase in the resistance of the pulmonary vessels, rather than an underlying cause, such as an increase in pulmonary arterial pressure that resulted from left-sided heart failure leading to elevated pulmonary pressures and volume overload. In this scenario, we are describing the most common cause of pulmonary hypertension in the United States that is secondary to left-sided heart failure. Globally, schistosomiasis is also a major cause of pulmonary hypertension. Pulmonary arterial hypertension is most commonly idiopathic, and it has been attributed to a mutation in the gene BMPR2, which promotes growth of the pulmonary vessel wall, leading to decreased lumen size. But how does this lead to an increase in arterial pressure? Well, it all comes down to physics. Part 2, the physics of pulmonary hypertension. Pulmonary hypertension is best understood by considering two laws of physics, Ohm's law and Poiseuille's law. In brief, Ohm's law can be applied to blood pressure with the formula blood pressure equals cardiac output times resistance. What this means is that pulmonary hypertension can be caused by an increase in cardiac output or an increase in the resistance within the pulmonary vessels. Pulmonary arterial hypertension is a classic example of the role of resistance in increasing pressure. The resistance of pulmonary blood vessels is determined by Poiseuille's law, which states that resistance increases to the fourth power as the radius of a blood vessel decreases. In pulmonary arterial hypertension, the radius of the lumen is decreased due to the thickness of the wall, and this results in a significant increase in resistance. The radius of pulmonary vessels can be reduced by a variety of other factors as well. For example, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD, can cause hypoxic vasoconstriction, thereby increasing pulmonary vascular resistance. In this case, the cause of the resistance is not internal, like primary pulmonary artery hypertension, but rather due to an external cause. Finally, left-sided heart failure can lead to pulmonary hypertension via increased pressure at the left atrium. The increase in pressure at the left atrium is transmitted to the pulmonary vein and eventually the pulmonary artery. This leads to a functional obstruction and increased resistance. Other etiologies with similar mechanisms include mitral stenosis and pulmonary embolism. In some patients with congenital heart disease, pulmonary blood flow is increased above normal. According to Ohm's law, this increased output leads to pulmonary hypertension. A large untreated ventricular septal defect is a classic example of this. Blood flow shunts from the left ventricle to the right ventricle across the ventricular septal defect. This increases cardiac output from the right ventricle and, in turn, pulmonary blood pressure. Now, let's stop for a quick quiz. What are some causes of pulmonary hypertension? Left heart failure and lung disease, such as COPD, can result in pulmonary hypertension. Part 3. What are the symptoms of pulmonary hypertension, and how is pulmonary hypertension diagnosed? The clinical signs of pulmonary hypertension can initially appear as difficulty breathing with exertion and eventually at rest. Patients will often complain about tiring easily, particularly in the context of an increase in myocardial oxygen demand, for example, exercise. The inability of the right heart to maintain a proper cardiac output that matches the increase in oxygen demand leads to these symptoms. If left untreated, the condition can become progressively worse and new symptoms can develop, such as chest pain and lightheadedness with exertion. The increase in pressure and resistance can also eventually lead to right heart failure, which may manifest on physical exam as peripheral edema, jugular venous distension, and ascites. So, how do we diagnose pulmonary hypertension? The progression of pulmonary hypertension to right ventricular hypertrophy, or RVH, and ultimately to right-sided heart failure, can manifest clinically. Initial physical exam findings in pulmonary hypertension include increased intensity of the pulmonic component of the second heart sound. As patients develop RVH, we start to see an enlarged A wave on the jugular venous curve and a left parasternal heave. A parasternal heave is a palpable pulsation of the chest wall that can be physically felt during an exam. Electrocardiograms, or ECGs, of the patients with RVH may demonstrate right axis deviation, positive QRS in lead 2, 3, and AVF, and a negative QRS in lead 1. In addition, findings on an echocardiogram can include enlarged right atrium and ventricle. A right heart catheterization can be performed to confirm the diagnosis of pulmonary hypertension with a mean pulmonary arterial pressure greater than or equal to 25 millimeters per mercury at rest. In addition to the exam findings previously described, resultant right-sided heart failure will have associated findings of right-sided heart murmurs that are accentuated with inspiration, for example, tricuspid regurgitation, as well as an increased V wave on the jugular venous curve. Now, how does pulmonary hypertension lead to right-sided heart failure? So, if left untreated, chronic pulmonary hypertension can lead to right-sided heart failure. The increase in afterload from the elevated pulmonary arterial pressure causes an increase in myocardial oxygen demand. The right heart compensates in the long term by undergoing hypertrophy, which increases its thickness in response to the stress from the increase in pressure. While this works initially, the increase in oxygen demand proves to be unsustainable for the heart muscle and can lead to ischemia and eventually heart failure. For this reason, treatment for pulmonary hypertension is very important. How about another quiz? What are some physical exam findings of late pulmonary hypertension? Physical findings of late pulmonary hypertension include those of right-sided heart failure, distended neck veins, positive hepatojugular reflux, peripheral edema, and ascites. Part 4. How is pulmonary hypertension treated? Treatment for pulmonary hypertension includes treating any underlying causes and the use of pharmacologic agents that cause pulmonary arterial vasodilation. These agents include endothelin receptor antagonists like bosentan, which will decrease pulmonary vascular resistance. Prostacyclins like iloprost and epoprostenol are also used, which will directly vasodilate the pulmonary and systemic arteries. You might also choose a phosphodiesterase 5, also known as PDE5 inhibitor, like tadalafil, which inhibits cyclic guanosine monophosphate, or cGMP, PDE5, thus prolonging nitric oxide and its vasodilatory effect in vasculature. And that brings us to the end of our discussion on pulmonary hypertension. Now, let's recap to see if we've completed our goals. First, can you define pulmonary hypertension and compare it with pulmonary arterial hypertension? Recall that pulmonary hypertension is a broader, more inclusive term that simply means an elevation of blood pressure in the vessels of the lung. Pulmonary arterial hypertension is a subtype of pulmonary hypertension caused by narrowing and thickening of the pulmonary arteries. Second, can you list three common secondary etiologies of pulmonary hypertension? A few common secondary etiologies for pulmonary hypertension include left ventricular heart failure, mitral stenosis, and pulmonary embolism. Third, can you describe how pulmonary vascular resistance affects pulmonary arterial pressure? Remember Poiseuille's law, which states that the resistance increases to the fourth power as the radius of the vessel decreases. As you recall, vasoconstriction of the pulmonary arteries are a core feature of pulmonary artery hypertension. Next, can you describe the clinical presentation and diagnosis of pulmonary hypertension? Patients will present with shortness of breath on exertion, with symptoms of right heart failure like bilateral lower extremity edema, jugular venous distension, and ascites. Next, can you describe how pulmonary hypertension leads to right-sided heart failure? As you know, an increase in afterload from the elevated pulmonary arterial pressure causes an increase in myocardial oxygen demand. The right heart compensates in the long term by undergoing hypertrophy, and if left untreated, it can lead to right-sided heart failure. Finally, can you describe the treatment of pulmonary hypertension? Of course, you must first always address the underlying cause, and the mainstay of therapy for pulmonary hypertension includes agents that vasodilate the pulmonary arteries like bosentan, prostacyclins, and PDE5 inhibitors. And that's it. Armed with your newfound knowledge on pulmonary hypertension, let's get back to the patient from the beginning of the episode. You're seeing a 40-year-old woman with shortness of breath on exertion, lower extremity edema that is tiring easily with exercise. On physical examination, you observe a loud P2 on heart auscultation, and you also see edema in her lower extremities. What is happening, and how can you explain this to your patient? You have a high concern for right heart failure due to her physical exam findings. You dig deeper into her history, and you do not find any clear reasons for her heart failure, including no other heart or lung disease, no sleep apnea, blood clots, or other problems. You explain to the patient, it appears that part of your heart is not pumping properly and is causing fluid to back up into your legs. The heart and lungs work together, and sometimes, if one organ has a problem, both organs can be injured. We'll need to do some tests on both your heart and lungs to figure this out. You go on to describe, we'll start with a simple ECG and chest x-ray and decide on the next steps when we have these initial results come back. For right now, I suggest you hold off on attempting any exercise classes. You see that your patient is visibly concerned, so you assure her that you will be with her throughout this process and that you will do all that you can to help her get back to her normal routine. And that's it for our show. Make sure you like and subscribe if you like what you hear, and remember, your feedback helps us improve. You can enjoy the full BRIC experience online at www.usmle-rx.com, complete with illustrations, questions, flashcards, and active learning. So go check that out if you haven't already. Until next time,